Great to be with you on this Thursday. Of course, this podcast drops each and every Thursday, and we're only 16 days away from the first ever Tab Phoenix Greyhounds only slot race worth $1.1 million. Let's welcome in the team because we have a big show, a lot of news to cover off. Georgie Ferrugia, hello to you. Did you recover from a big Melbourne Cup week?
Yeah, it was massive, mate. But I'll tell you what, there's no rest for the wicked because, as you said, we're less than 3 weeks away from one of the biggest races in the world.
Yep, the Tab Phoenix and our man, of course, from the Meadows Greyhound Racing Club or the Melbourne Greyhound Racing Club is Corey Smith, and he joins us now. G'day, Smithy.
G'day, fellas. Very exciting to be back. It's getting very real now. With not too long out, it's getting very exciting.
We'll talk about Billy Creek's performance to take out the GTOPA final. So he's earned his place into the Tab Phoenix, representing that organisation. The story behind him and Ian Gild is something else. So stay tuned for that. I've got some news regarding Jason Thompson's slot. Of course, he's representing the Tab. And we have the Flame on tonight. So the winner of that race, the Queensland Flame at Albion Park on a Thursday night, will be representing Racing Queensland. So looking forward to discussing that final with the team a little later on. And of course, the Sports Entertainment Network aren't far away from announcing their Greyhound, who will be representing them. And Sportsbet, surely, Smithy, aren't far away either of announcing who will be representing them in this year's Tab Phoenix.
Well, they can't be far away because there's not too long to be able to announce it before nominations go in. So hopefully we'll get some more clarity on that over the coming days. But I think it's a poorly kept secret who they're going to go with anyway. So we'll get that official announcement over the coming days, though, I'm sure.
Now, our first guest is one of my favourites. He is the voice of WA Greyhound Racing. He is one of the best greyhound race callers in the world. He had so much colour. He's got so much passion for this sport of greyhound racing. His name is Peter O'Neill. And live from WA, he joins us now to talk about the match race on Saturday night at Cannington between Fernando Starr, or Ferdinand Starr, and Vice Grip. The winner of that particular match race will be representing Dogs WA in this year's Tab Phoenix. And Peter joins us now. G'day, Pete.
Gareth, boys, good morning. I'm excited because while you boys have match racing all the time on the East Coast, this is the first ever match race that I will actually get to call at Cannington, the first one on the new track and the first one we've had in Western Australia for 15 years. Last time was between an Eagles and a Dockers Greyhound,
yes.
And you wouldn't believe it, Gareth, the Dockers beat the Eagles, the first win they've ever had.
Yeah, that's unheard of, really, over there, across there in the West, Pete. But what about the Tab Phoenix and obviously, this race series that has been a little bit different that Dogs WA have gone about trying to choose their dog to represent them in the $1.1 million final. How has the local industry and the sporting fans of the West embraced the Tab Phoenix?
Well, it's been great for us over here because we've been promoting the Dogs WA Twitter feed. It's the new feed that we have, and we're getting a lot of exposure on Friday, Saturday nights and through the week when we're racing. So we're happy with the way it's going. The industry has really taken hold of it. There's been a few different ways and talking points. Would Tommy Shelby go into the series? Would he go across the Melbourne Cup? We now know that he went to the Melbourne Cup and unfortunately failed there. We then had, you know, the stories coming through of greyhounds like Vice Grip for a young trainer, Adam Smithson, who's only recently taken up full-time greyhound training. He has a young partner, Shantae, and a little baby girl, and he's looking to set himself up in the training ranks here in Western Australia. And then you had trainers like Cozzy D'Agostino, who had a greyhound called Momentum, who'd been flying for a period of time. And then in the recent weeks, David Hobby and Chris Holzer's team started to really hit their straps. And Chris Holzer has an old stager in Fernando Starr, who won the Mandurah Derby a couple of years ago. He's won $176,000 in stake money. And this greyhound, he has probably improved six or seven lengths over the last month, and he's won three of his last four. People have written him off. He's gone from $2.25 out to $3 with the sports betting markets and Vice Grip $1.60 to $1.36. But I think he's a really big chance, and I'm excited to call this match race on Saturday night.
Pete, welcome to the show. Interested to hear your synopsis of this race. There doesn't seem to be too much between them. Probably Fernando Starr might be a little bit better to the first mark. He has gone 5.43 and 5.46 in his last two. But Vice Grip hasn't been far behind. He went 5.50 last week. with Fernando Starr drawing the inside. How do you see it playing out, especially in the first corner? And will Vice Grip, do you think, have enough to run Fernando Starr down at the end?
Well, on stats, Vice Grip, his last section has been better than Fernando Starr in recent weeks. But going on their first stat, and you're spot on, George, they're identical. So 5.53 average, both of them going into the first corner. Fernando Starr draws the inside. Vice Grip, we know, steps to the right, coming out of the boxes. So Fernando Starr is going to get plenty of galloping room early. And this greyhound here landed in front and with momentum right on his heels last week. And momentum couldn't get past him. He's a really talented chaser on the arm. His Munster Recall won a Group 1 over in Victoria by the great sire Fernando Bale, WA bred greyhound. And, you know, with him on top, it's going to take the best of Vice Grip to be able to get over him in the concluding stages. In saying that, Vice Grip, as I mentioned, did run better set last sectional in his last few. He's won over the 600 metres, so he's a strong dog, but he'll need to be to get past Fernando Starr.
Now, Peter, I know this, it's an absolute cracking match race that's going to be up. There's storylines coming everywhere for it. But I think initially when Dogs WA was announced as a slot holder, a lot of people would have thought you'd just go down the Tommy Shelby route. But that there would have been plenty of positives marketing-wise. But going down this race series, you've unearthed dogs like, that you mentioned, like Momentum and Vice Grip's flying, and Fernando Starr's kind of there. It's how happy are you with what's gone on the match racing series, and what's the kind of feedback that you've got from the participants?
Well, it's been fantastic. We've had some negative feedback from New South Wales, but they seem to have some negative journalists over there. The West Australian public have really come to the fore. They've been going out to watch this series over the last few weeks. We saw the Greyhounds go through, so Vice Grip won the group to All Stars and Momentum ran second. Then Momentum got another ticket through by winning the Young Stars. And then it allowed other greyhounds to come into the series, like Fernando Starr and Sir Monty and the like. We got down to four dog races last week. There was a massive crowd on course. The temperature over in Perth would have helped. It was around 35 degrees during the day, and we're going to get that again on Saturday. We have the Kingston Town and our Masters series at Ascot at the moment, so the crowds come from Ascot out to Cannington. And there's a real buzz about WA greyhound racing at the moment. I think the last time we had a match race, and while it was between two football clubs, there were two greyhounds representing football clubs, we had 5,000 people. Now, put that in comparison, we had 1,500 people at our Perth Cup last year. So if we can have this match race, and I've been calling for it for a long time, like they do at Sandown on the East Coast, where you have this the speed star and so forth. If we have this match race on Saturday, I'm sure we'll get a full crowd, and I think they'll be really excited to see who's going to represent Western Australia. And some people will say that Vice Grip came across from Victoria. He was just a dog. He's going to start as a $1.36 favourite on Saturday night. Now, just to put it in comparison, his best is 29.57 that he ran last week. Prior to that, he had equal personal best with Fernando Starr. The 29.57 last week, that's only half a length off Tommy Shelby's best ever run at Cannington in race conditions. Tommy Shelby, of course, we know, the Australian Greyhound of the Year. So he's not too far off, Vice Grip, down a straight. He wouldn't be competitive with your best dogs in Victoria, but around a course like the Meadows, where he's raced before, I think he'll do a really good job if he gets through, and I'm sure Fernando Starr will do a good job as well because he's a tried and proven customer that's won over 24 races and close to $200,000 in stakes.
It's exciting, and I'll go to you here, Georgie. Fernando Starr fascinates me for Christy Hulse and Linda Britton, Hall of Fame trainers, we all know that. But he's had a few starts, but he's never raced better. Can greyhounds do that deep into their career, just improve like Fernando Starr has his last couple?
You often hear trainers speak about greyhounds. They go through a little bit of a lull. They're getting a little bit long in the tooth, and you think they're almost done, and then they have a little bit of a purple patch. And to Peter's point, prior to his last two wins, I think he had won one out of 10. And he was racing at Mandurah and getting beaten, running around the 22.70, 22.80 mark at Mandurah. But he's come out in his last two and been absolutely outstanding. So to answer your question, Gareth, yeah, they can hit a bit of a purple patch. And this greyhound's certainly done that. It's got a solid record from box one. It's going to be a really interesting match race, I tell you. And whoever is representative, it'll be fantastic. I spoke to the owners of Vice Grip, the Four Frothies Syndicate,
yes,
Glenn Pask, who is so excited by the fact of, you know, they sent the dog over there. And again, to Peter's point, he might have been just a dog in quotation marks, but he was still a handy, versatile animal when he raced in Victoria. So I think either greyhound will make WA proud.
Now, Pete, hindsight's a beautiful thing, but the Tommy Shelby team is one of the most popular dogs in the country, and he was a little unlucky because he arrived here in Melbourne for a heat of the Melbourne Cup, the Tab Melbourne Cup, and he drew box number 8. If they had their time again, do you think that they would have stayed home? And because when you have, and all due respect to a Fernando Star and a Vice Grip, but at his best, Tommy Shelby in a match race would blow these two greyhounds away.
Yep. Oh, no doubt. But, you know, hindsight.
Yeah.
We've done things when we were younger, Gareth, that we'd probably look back and think we probably wouldn't do that again.
Speak for yourself, Pete.
I'd say 100%, you know, they chose. And again, it comes down, I think the Phoenix is a fantastic promotion tool. We're getting promotion for greyhound racing right around Australia. I definitely think next year the Meadows will do a few things differently. Whether they want to see these races like WA have had, where we lead in to try and find who will represent our slot, or whether they want it just as slot racing, so you choose a greyhound and put it back onto the slot holders, you must choose a dog. We don't want them going through a series like WA have done. Tommy Shelby would have been our first one, and when we sat down and discussed it originally, we always thought that Tommy Shelby would be one of our leading contenders. It then clashes our series, and we always knew this. It clashes with the Melbourne Cup, so people then had to make a choice of do you go to the Melbourne Cup or do you come and go through our series. We gave a couple of opportunities before in the All-Stars and also the Young Stars so that you could have gone across the Melbourne Cup, but Tommy Shelby wasn't right at that point in time. I agree with you 100%. If he had have raced in Western Australia in our series 2 weeks ago, he would have been in the final on Saturday night.
Just with that, George, and I'll get the opinion of our panel, including you, Pete, and I'll be fascinated to hear your thoughts because you've lived and breathed it over there in WA. What's the perfect answer here? Because these jurisdictions, like Racing Queensland, Greyhound Racing New South Wales, the GTOBA in New South Wales as well, and RAWA, so they've purchased a slot, but to get the value for money and to please their participants, I would imagine, giving greyhound owners and trainers an opportunity to compete for this prize money, and more of them, they have to race these series. But what's the best scenario for the race, George? It's a difficult one.
It is, Gareth. There's no simple answer, I think. I think there's pros and cons here. The pros of doing these sort of races is that a dog like Billy Creek would probably never have been picked for New South Wales to contest in this race. He won through to this race fair and square, but he's not, you know, in the top five best greyhounds in New South Wales, for instance. So then the narrative around Billy Creek and his trainer Ian Gilders makes for fantastic story. Mm-hmm. It's a great narrative. Otherwise, wouldn't have had an opportunity to do that. The con is that then I think if you have not these races and you have not even just a jurisdiction, but even private entities that pick the race, then you ensure that you're getting the best possible race with the best possible greyhounds or as close to as you can, you know, barring injury. So it's two-edged sword here, I suppose. There's going to be some great stories to come out of it. And to Peter's point again, the promotion of the race – I think it's been absolutely fantastic. Are we going to get the best 8 greyhounds in the race? No, we're not, but that's fine as well. So, yeah, there might be some tinkering with the Meadows. They'll have a decision to make coming into next year's slot holders and the way they go.
But you never really, even slot racing, the Everest has proved this in the thoroughbreds as well. You get close to the best field, but you're never going to get the best 8 dogs because Sportsbet's the perfect example. They're about to announce, well, she's fast now. George, you're being vocal on this. She's not in your best 8 greyhounds in the country, but she's a markable commodity and she's a markable greyhound for Sportsbet to push forward with their slot.
But you still get, I mean, with the Everest, I mean, you'd know more about the gallops than me, but you still get your nature strips and these types, Gareth, that have been hand-selected. So I'm guessing that, again, WA, if they had their choice, if Steve Withers put his hand up and said Tommy Shelby's ready to go, he would have been in this field and, you know, greyhounds like WOW probably would have got in, or, you know, I mean, Bandit Ned had an opportunity through the through the other slot in GRNSW. But yeah, it would just ensure that you and even if whatever you think about Wow She's Fast, and again, I'm not bagging Wow She's Fast. I think she's got a lot of ability, but I just think that and the Greenos had to do it. They had to put her in at the deep end. Just think that she will struggle to beat a dog like Aston Ruby and Koblenz in their stage of their career. But is she a draw card for the race with the 29.09 PB? And if she trialled at the Meadows and run 29.60, absolutely she'll have her supporters. So it's going to be an interesting 12 months. But take nothing away from the Meadows for absolutely having a crack. And for the people that have been negative, all I've tried to say, Gareth, is let's take a deep breath here. This is the first crack at it. And I think there's still some absolutely fantastic stories to come out of it.
Smithy can have the last word because he is representing the Meadows. But Pete, if you now, obviously the application's reopened. So I've got a couple of questions for you here. Do you think Dogs WA and Rawa will put in another application to try and get a slot for the 2022 Tab Phoenix? And if they do that, do you think that they will rethink the way that they go about choosing their dog?
Yes, they will put in another application because it's been great for the brand, the Dogs WA, and also aligning us with the Phoenix, which we think is an outstanding concept, the slot racing. And no, I don't. I think we'll still go through the same process because what I've been able to promote over here in Western Australia, I'm not sure if you guys have caught on, is the fact that we've got guys like Cozzy D'Agostino, with Colleen Pearson, who you guys might not have heard of, who's got a couple of smart young greyhounds coming through, Margaret Hebble, the little trainers, 100%. The Battler, could have one greyhound, like you've seen up in New South Wales, that could get an opportunity to represent not WA, but the Dogs WA, which is our brand over here in Western Australia, and be able to race for a first prize money. So we're giving the full prize money to the winning connection, and that's $750,000. So it can change someone's life, and if we actually chose the best dog, and whether that be Tommy Shelby, well, we think the way that we're doing it, giving every person and every industry participant in WA the opportunity, and it's not just WA that gets the opportunity. We opened it up to the rest of Australia, but with our premier and also our restrictions of being able to get into WA, it probably frightened a few people and a few trainers in bringing their greyhounds across to maybe have a crack at the All-Stars or the Young Stars and try and qualify for this series.
And Corey, just before we move on from this conversation, do you think that part of the criteria for the next group of applicants will be that if you do want to have a race series to work out who will be representing your slot, that you do have to do it a little bit earlier so it doesn't get caught up amongst the Tab Melbourne Cup?
Yeah, look, that's definitely something that we're going to take on board, and that's something that we've discussed internally as well. We want to take nothing away from the Melbourne Cup because that's such a great race. And if you ask many trainers, that's probably still the race that they want to win. But at the end of the day, the Phoenix, we already have the Top Gun, which is your best eight dogs. The Phoenix is more aimed at trying to tap into target markets that haven't been tapped into before and kind of grow the sport. And that's why I think a lot of the jurisdictions jumped on board because they see that as a whole, it's a positive for the industry. And that's what we want going forward as well. Yes, we will tinker with things. The race series may look a little bit different. There may be less of them. I don't know. There's plenty of water to go under the bridge, but internally, there's already discussions of things that we want to change for next year. But we'll just get this first one over and done with in a few weeks' time, and then we'll sit down and talk about it and make this race as good as we think it can be because we absolutely love the concept, and I think we will get there. That it's, if it's not already, it's the most talked about racing, greyhound racing. So it's very exciting, and there will be things that we tinker, Gareth. But yeah, like Peter's touched on, it's been great for them. It's been great for Queensland with the Queensland Flame tonight, and it'll be great for everyone that's involved. So that's our aim, and hopefully we can touch some target markets that haven't been touched before and bring our great sport into a bigger audience.
I bet you Chris Holst and Linda Britton, with all that prize money on offer, won't be transferring Fernando Starr into Jeff Britton or Robbie Britton's name come the Tab Phoenix there, Pete.
I wouldn't have thought so. Chris is up in the Timor Sea fishing at the moment, but I'm sure he'll be back and making sure that Fernando Starr's cherry ripe for Saturday night. And I think $3 is a fantastic price. While I'm tipping Vice Grip, Gareth, I think the $3 on offer, I might be having a little Tinker later on this afternoon.
Hey, good on you, Pete. You're a superstar. Love the way that you love the game, promote the game. You're a brilliant race caller, and I'm looking forward to your description of the Dogs WA match race for the qualifying process to represent Dogs WA in the TAB Phoenix. Have you shaved that mo, mate? Congratulations too with your team in WA and Jason Lincoln. You raised over $10,000 for mental health for men, which is a terrific effort. I know it's a cause close to your heart, but it was disgusting, that look on you.
Yeah, it's gone now, Gareth.
Yeah, thank God.
I just want to let you know that this match race, while we've had match race in Australia, this match race will be the first and only match race ever under gum trees with the sun setting over the Indian Ocean.
Beautiful.
In beautiful Perth.
I quickly learnt that there's no Indian Ocean because you can't see it from Cannington. There's only one gum tree there, and it hardly ever blows a gale there at Cannington. But you know what, Pete? He paints a perfect picture. And it is it's an oasis, really, Cannington. There's no doubt about that. Good on you, mate. Thanks for that.
Have a good day.
Always great to catch up with Peter O'Neill. Now, let's talk about the other jurisdictions, because this TAB Phoenix field is taking slowly but surely taking its place now, because we've got the Queensland Flame final. We'll have a chat about Billy Creek after he won his way into the TAB Phoenix representing the New South Wales GTOBA. Greyhound Racing New South Wales also announced Jungle Juice as their representative, as he was voted in by the New South Wales sporting public. And we'll talk about Jason Thompson's decision on who represents the TAB, because that TAB representative needs to come from Jason Thompson's team. And the Sports Entertainment Network are about to announce, I would imagine, Koblenz for their slot. But let's have a chat about the Queensland Flame. Now, this podcast drops on a Thursday, of course. So this is tonight. It's race 8 on the program. And we've got Spotted Elk at $2.40, Farmore Beach at $4.20, and Extra Malt at $4, George. Now, I want to get your tip here, but from a TAB Phoenix perspective, who would be the best greyhound for the race from Queensland?
Probably the favourite, Spotted Elk. Because she does possess some good early speed, and she staves off all challenges usually in her runs. She's been really well supported around $2.40. And her sister, Extra Malt, races completely different, Gareth. She's a greyhound that doesn't begin all that well, but is a powerhouse finisher. And the issue there would be that, it'd be hard for her to run down the likes of Aston Ruby and co. But she'll be getting to the line very hard. The tip, I'm going for a bit of a sneaky here in Farmore Beach. His PB at this track is absolutely outstanding, around 29.60. Yep. Went through a little bit of a lull, but more recently, Garrett, just like Fernando Starr, he's just started to come good again here. His three wins in the lead-up to this race were outstanding, including a 29.62 win. If he can just offset the box draw, Garrett, I think he's a big chance. He opened at 4.60s into 4.20. I've just got a feeling about Farmore Beach in tonight's final.
All right, then, who are you tipping here, Smithy?
I'm actually going a little bit wider. I'm going 90 Mile King, the 3 on the comeback trail. Had a couple of races up at Kapalabar and then back over the 500. It's quite a strong dog, so if anything kind of goes wrong, I think we can be running home there. But that dog, 90 Mile King, was going to come down to Jason Thompson at one point. So he's obviously got a high opinion of it. So there's not too many people that are that you'd trust more than Jason Thompson when they have a high opinion of a dog. So I'm happy to go for 3 each way. I think it's about $15 at the minute.
All right, then. What about Billy Creek? It's a great story. And people say that this is a race that is meant to promote the best taking on the very best in greyhound racing. There's no doubt about that. But it's also designed, as you pointed out, Smithy, to promote greyhound racing like it's never been promoted before. And slot racing does that. It's the narratives heading towards the greyhounds being chosen by those slot holders, or for Billy Creek's sake, he was actually able to win his way into the race. But the Ian Gilder story with Billy Creek and the story behind him winning the slot for the GTOBA, he will become the dog that will be talked about the most leading up to the TAB Phoenix, Every free-to-air network will do a story on him. He's a human interest story that people will talk about in the pubs, and people outside of greyhound racing can relate to. And he will be a very popular dog come the Tab Phoenix. And in the end, I think it's a market genius for the Meadows and the Tab Phoenix, Georgie, because Billy Creek will be a very popular dog heading towards this series.
Absolutely, and that's one of the positives, as we said. And you make a good point about the free-to-air stuff and the papers. Might be up the front end of the paper, Gareth, rather than...
Yeah.
You know, a guy going for a dream to change his life, winning $750,000. So in that regard, it's absolutely fantastic. And look, he's a slow beginner. He's going to work to the line well. I think Ian Gildas has done the right thing. I believe the greyhound's already been transported to Rob Britton's kennel. I mean, if there's one name, or there's plenty of names, but Rob is certainly one name where he knows what it takes to win a big race at the Meadows. So he'll prepare him as best he can, and be interesting to see how he goes. Be great to speak to Ian Gildas in the lead up to just to see how he's feeling. He's gone from winning his first Metro race, Gareth, to being in a Phoenix, which that alone is a fantastic story.
We tried to get in contact with Ian, but he hasn't got a phone. He lives in outback New South Wales in the western part of the state. And, it's difficult to get hold of Ian, but eventually over the next couple of days, we'll try and work out and catch up with Ian. The other representative for New South Wales is Jungle Juice. Corey, did it surprise you that he got the nod there for the most popular vote in New South Wales over Bandit Ned?
Look, I thought originally when it was kind of announced that it was going to be a popularity contest, I thought Bandit Ned might get across the line, just knowing who's in his ownership group and the kind of connections that they have there. But it wasn't really a surprise. Once I saw the campaigns, the Jungle Juice campaign was phenomenal, really. You know, to say that you're going to shout a pub in Forbes for the night if he gets the selection, that's the way to my heart. So I know it's going to be the way to the heart of plenty of punters around. So it wasn't a shock once I saw the campaigns, and they absolutely nailed it. They got his name out there, and there were so many votes through the Daily Telegraph. So again, it's one of those things that's bringing in a newer target market as well. Some people that voted might not have ever watched a greyhound race. We don't know. So it's been a great thing. And Jungle Juice, he'll acquit himself well. He's been here plenty of times. He's trialled, he's raced, he's won here. So he'll be very hard to beat come Phoenix night too.
And Georgie, I can't work out, when we interviewed Jack on RSN Central on Monday with our Off the Leash program, Jack Smith, of course, the trainer of Jungle Juice, I was surprised, because when I think of Feral Frankie, because Jack Smith from Feral Frankie fame, he's one of the best preparers of a greyhound, as you pointed out there the other day, in the country. But I thought he would be like a knockabout larrikin, which he is from Forbes, but I thought he would enjoy a beer, but he doesn't drink, Jack.
No, but all the other characteristics are there. You're right about being a knockabout. And I tell you what, he will have that dog absolute A-plus Sherry Rye, Gareth. And the fact that I think one of the positives to having that result 3 weeks out from the race is that he's going to prepare this dog exactly how he wants to. Now, we heard that he had trialled at the Meadows prior to maturity and went 29.70. Absolutely no surprise. He's gone as quick as 29.30 at Wentworth Park. Does he lack a yard early? Probably now, yes. And Jack alluded to the fact that he's probably a little bit more dour to the first mark. If he draws close to the fence and there is a little bit of trouble, and we've seen with Aston Ruby what happened in that Melbourne Cup, that he just can get tangled up. Jungle Juice is in this race up to his ears, especially if he draws well.
All right, then. What about Jason Thompson? What does he do? I think it's out of two. He's got, I would imagine, now I've just had a text message conversation with Jason. He wouldn't give too much away. He says it's out of two. So this is just me guessing. This hasn't been confirmed from Jason Thompson. I would imagine it would be True Kalinda and also Typhoon Sammy, George.
I would say it would be Typhoon Sammy or Silver Lake. Interesting to hear Corey Smith's opinion about this. Now, Silver Lake trolled at the Meadows yesterday, Gareth, and went 29.53. Now, this is the amazing part for me, guys. He went 5.15 to the mark, which is okay, 17.55 down the back. So his run between the markers, Gareth, would be equivalent to Simon Told Hallen at his absolute very best at the Meadows. That's how far Silver Lake is. Now, he would be a huge story if Jason went that way. Now, I'm only guessing. I don't know. Obviously, Jason hasn't given much away. The last time he raced, Gareth, He ran sixth at Warragul early in November and was a little bit naughty. And he hasn't won a race since February this year. But that trial just shows how quick he is. And Corey, I'm not sure if you were on track to see that, but that was incredible.
I was on track. I mean, we had 10 races at the Meadows and we had plenty of good pups and Fernando Caz, a Group 1 winner, going around. But when I heard that Silver Lake and Zach's entity were having a satisfactory trial after the races, I made sure I was out there watching because it was phenomenal, really. And those splits, that's just unheard of. I mean, I'd be actually really interested to see if Silver Lake going well, chasing well, flying at his peak, how he would go against in a match race against Aston Rupee, because we kind of say that Aston Rupee is unrivaled in his pace, but Silver Lake kind of showed yesterday that he'd put the hammer down in a match race of that sort of caliber. I mean, it's going to be pretty ballsy if the Thompson and Tab slot kind of goes down the Silver Lake path, but it's he's a seriously fast animal and has had massive wraps on him from day one. And I've seen he's in the Tab prenoms market, so you get your money back if he doesn't get the selection. He's $21, the outsider of the Thompson Kennels. So I'm not saying to pile into that, but I think he's definitely in the discussion after yesterday.
Gareth, just quickly, if I can just paint a picture too. He went 5:15, but make no mistake, he can go a lot quicker early. His first start at Sandown, he went 5:02. Now, remember that Koblenz went 5:04 to lead a Melbourne Cup, 29:14. That would have, again, this is all hearsay, but I would suggest that would be his first look over the 5:25 right, at the Meadows for some time. And for him to run 5:15, he's clearly capable of going under 5:10. Does Jason roll the dice with the Greyhound, who clearly would be right up there with what Corey's saying as one of the fastest greyhounds in the country and one that could probably rival Aston Rupee? It's an intriguing couple of days coming up.
We've had a lot of fun. We have definitely run over time. So I'll just ask you this question then, Georgie. Give us a comparison to an AFL player going into a grand final without any match practice, missing, say, the last half of the season. He's not an established champion, but he's a rising star. Would it be like picking, I don't know, Cyril Rioli in his first couple of seasons for Hawthorn? He could win the match.
That sort of X factor.
Yeah, he's got an X factor.
And just to add to that point on Silver Lake, he actually holds the post-to-post record at the Meadows in a trial. So he's definitely been around here and he's a flying machine.
All right, then. Koblenz will be picked by the Sports Entertainment Network. We're just waiting on an official announcement. And it looks like, of course, While She's Fast will be representing Sportsbet. I'll have a look at the market here. And while I do that, lads, I need you to get ready for your power rankings before we say goodbye, because everybody's talking about these power rankings these days with the countdown to the Tab Phoenix podcast team. Now, our Phoenix market here, and it's about to come onto my screen. We've got Aston Rupee 270. I've declared him. Koblenz at $4. Bandernet at $5. Typhoon Semi 6. Well, She's Fast 8. Aston Fastnet 12. Good Odds Cash at 12. Lakeview Walter 12. True Kalinda at $12. I thought she might have been in consideration. Obviously not. Aussie Secret 17. Fernando Bluey 17. Jungle Juice at 17. Quara Bale at 17. Lala Kiwi at 18, and Billy Creek at $51. All right, then we'll start off with the apprentice, Corey.
I've put Koblenz back up the top. He's overtaken Aston Rupee. In at three is Jungle Juice for reasons mentioned before. In at four is Where She's Fast, thinking that she'll get the sports bet slot. And then in at five, I've nearly just talked myself into changing this at the last second, but I've got Typhoon Sammy in there, but could be Silver Lake, could be True Kalinda, could be Aussie Secret. Who knows? Mm-hmm. It'll be exciting to see what Tab and Jason Thompson come up with.
I think definitely Aston Rupee's the dog to beat. Different speed map, they tell me, Georgie, for the Phoenix than what he had to compete with in the Tab Melbourne Cup. I've got Koblenz too. I think Typhoon Semi, because he's been there, done that with some race practice under his belt. I think he might get the nod, but I might be wrong with Jason Thompson. He's my third elect. Fourth, you've got to put in Well, She's Fast. And for my fifth spot, you know what? Just because I think he's a terrific story, and who knows, he rails hard, and he might be with Robbie Britton preparing him for the last couple of weeks. Billy Creek could just outstay them in the concluding stages.
It'll be one hell of a story, Gareth, that's for sure. But my rankings, Rupee's still on top, Kablin's second, Jungle Juice, the Jack Smith factor, I think he'll get this dog prepared beautifully. Silver Lake, I'm going to throw in, Gareth, because I think a lot of things will be going through Jason's mind after that trial and wow, she's fast to bring us up. But, I can't wait for that announcement for the tab slot in particular, because I think we know Kablenz will be picked pretty shortly.
We might try and chase Jason tomorrow on RSN Central. Hey, boys, do I have to pay you overtime, Georgie? We have gone well over time.
Here all good,
the
mate.
Countdown
all good.
To the Tab Phoenix podcast, as we're only, 16 days away from Greyhounds. First ever slot race. History will be made at the Meadows on the 18th of December at $1.145 million race? That's right, Smithy, isn't it?
Spot on, yep.
Hey, good on you, Corey. I'll tell you what, you are fitting into this role perfectly at the moment. Do you have a winner for us at the Meadows on Saturday?
I thought Gracie Bale looked like a good winning chance stepping up to the 600 for the first time out of box one. So there's no prices yet, but I'm going to keep close on that.
Do we have to wait for Saturday or Friday tomorrow for your tip at the Meadows, Georgie?
I think Music Event will be pretty hard to beat in the free-for-all in what is a cracking race.
Unfortunately, Ash Baker, he wanted to get on again, the CEO, but there's just no room for him. Maybe next week, but it's Corey Smith who produces this show, Ash, so you'll have to have a chat to him. Always a pleasure, George. Always a pleasure, Corey.
Thanks, see you guys.
And thanks for your company on the official countdown to the Tab Phoenix. We'll catch you next week.